Welcome to episode 70 of Life with Mitty. Today we take a break from hashtag Mitty Goes to Austin by interviewing the CEO of Evovi, a new company that is focused on providing you with battery health reports. You'll be learning more about the company and the CEO in just a minute. Several weeks ago, I received a tweet from Evovi, spelled Evowy.com. And I was perplexed. Why was I getting this tweet asking me to participate in their system where they would provide me with battery health reports for free in exchange for my car data? I thought about it. I've seen this before with other companies who have done something similar, like recurrentauto.com. I was using that several years ago with my Model 3, and then when I got Mitty the Model Y, signed her up as well. Those reports were important because it gave me some good information about the actual range that my cars were producing based on the data that they provided. Evovi works in a similar way, although I think they're going more for a worldwide audience. They're very focused right now in Europe. Of course, they're including cars in the United States, yet I think they're focused more on the leasing and resale market, which is an important need. To be able to know the battery health of a used EV before you buy it is very important. As always, I'm not receiving any compensation from Evovi.com. I'm always sharing with my listeners what I'm doing with Mitty the Model Y, so as soon as I signed up, I knew we'd need to do an episode. And Evovi.com was so gracious to provide their CEO for an interview. So let's take you to that interview with the CEO of Evovi.com. I have with me today Eduardo Clavijo. He is the CEO of Evovi, and we're going to be talking about Evovi in just a few minutes. Eduardo, thank you for joining the podcast today.
Thanks to you, Douglas, for the opportunity to talk.
You're welcome. And I wanted you to do a brief introduction of yourself, please.
Well, I'm a mechanical engineer by study, but an entrepreneur by passion. I mean, I've started a company when I left the university. I was an engineering firm, so I grew up it from a solo enterprise to more than 50 people working in three different countries, and I sold it, and then I spent a time in London studying to find the next challenge, so it happened to be selling cars online. So we started a project with my fellow friends, David. So we started online business for car leasing, right? And there is where we realized that we love electric cars, and we realized that the leasing of electric cars is way more expensive than the leasing of combustion cars. And the main reason is because there is no certainty about the residual value of the electric vehicle after the leasing, right? And then the leasing company, they are cautious, and they are being very conservative, and they are assuming that the depreciation is going to be almost total, and that affects to the price. So we saw their opportunity to change things and to help the spread of electric cars, and that's why we created Evovi, right, as a way to help people to access to a car, to a second-hand car, electric vehicle. Because we think that not everyone has the budget to buy a brand new car, so many families will have to access to electric vehicle through buying second-hand cars. And the second-hand car, we all know, is a dodgy business where fraud is common, right? So we realize that the buyer of the second-hand car, they don't have the tools to shop for them. Because the most important thing about buying a second-hand electric car is the state of health of the battery, because the battery is the most expensive part of the car, and in many cases, even more expensive than the whole car. Then you need to be sure about that. Past, with the combustion cars, the value of the car was determined by the odometer, you know, how much miles the car had done. But that's not longer the case with an electric vehicle. You can have a low-mileage car that is rain because the battery has been poorly treated, right? So we realize that this buyer don't have the tools to find out whether the car is right or is not right, and that's what we are creating. We are creating tools for a seller to prove the state of health of his battery, and to the buyer to be sure about what he's buying, right? To be sure that the car is worth what they're asking for it.
All right. If you can give me a little bit of background on your family, and do you have children, and a little bit of information there for our listeners.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm 50 years old. I've been married with my wife since ever, because we met that when we were very, very young, and we have spent a life together. Lucky me. and yes, I have two kids. I have one is it's gonna be 16 next week, and the other is gonna and a daughter that's gonna be 14 in 2 weeks' time. So they're growing fast, and you know, now they are in that time of their life where you need to be very patient with them.
Yes. Well, I don't have kids. And I always appreciate the life events that other people have with their children, because they are years that go by very quickly. And glad to hear that you have a great family around you and supporting you as well.
Well, thank you.
It's always important.
It is.
I'm going to go ahead and get started with our questions today. And I think some of your intro touched on some of these, but I do want to ask them specifically, and if you'll go into maybe a little more detail about some of these questions. So our first one for today is, what is Evovi's goal?
Well, what we want to do is to add clarity to the second-hand market for electric vehicles, right? We have what we want to be sure is that we create a tool able to assess the state of a second-hand car, and particularly for electric car, the state of the car, it means the state of the battery, right? Because that's it. I mean, a car, electric car at the end of the day is a battery with wheels. So if the battery is right, that's fine. But if the battery is wrong and it's broken, replace it is more expensive than the whole car, right? So it's important to know it, right? So that's it. So we want a tool to do it. We want to be able to certify how good or bad a battery is, you know, as the state of health of the battery. And we want to do it remotely, fast, and easy. Right? So that's our goal, right?
So how did you arrive at this project or idea? You know, where did this come from?
Well, I mean, as I said, this started a business that David and myself, we're running a startup that we do. We are selling car leasing, right? So we are working as a broker for third parties, right? So we love electric car. We are very passionate about that, and we think the world will be a better world once all the cars are electric, right? But we realized in our world, which is leasing cars, it was upset to see that we don't lease that much electric cars. And the reason is because the price of the monthly payment is usually double than a combustion one. But it's not double because the car costs double the price. It's more expensive leasing an electric car than a combustion car, right? And we dig a little bit to understand why, right? So we realize that, as I said, if you, as an example, you have two cars with the same price, one is combustion, one is electric, the electric leasing will be probably double than the combustion. The reason is because the most important cost if a leasing is the depreciation of the car. So basically, the leasing company, what it does is, well, I'm going to lease to you a car for 3 years. I'm going to work out what's the depreciation of the car through those 3 years. And that's what you have to pay. At the end of the day, you are just paying for the use you do of the car, right? Fine. Then when you go to the electric car, companies, they don't have a record, a history of data to understand what will be the residual value of the car in 3 years' time. That they do with the combustion. I mean, with combustion, they have been doing for 100 years, and they know exactly, you know, with the year of manufacturing and the mileage of the car, they know exactly how it's going to be roughly the cost of the car in the second-hand market in 3 years' time, right? That doesn't happen with the electric car because there's a lot of unknowns. I mean, people don't know. The companies, they don't know what's going to happen with the car, going to be the maintenance, what's going to be the life, what's going to be the price, what's going to be the demand, right? So because they don't know, they're big corporate, you know, they are very conservative. And what they do is they just figure out that the depreciation is going to be huge. And basically they try to charge most of the value of the car to the leasing, right? And that's the origin. So with the Wallace, that makes no sense because actually it's still soon, but people is thinking, well, you know, it's a trend to think that the electric car that has less maintenance, which is true, they will last longer, right? So we don't see that the depreciation of the electric car necessarily will be faster or worse than the combustion car. But there's not that. So we thought, well, no, what if we could know, right? So that's the original. We always say, well, and if we are able to have a tool that knows how's the car, that will allow to the leasing company to predict better the residual value of the car and therefore, charging less to the customer and reduce the cost of the leasing. And we think that will help us to sell more electric cars, because right. So that was the reason.
All right, that was a really great detailed answer. It's exactly what I'm looking for, because some of the listeners may not be aware of some of the reasons why a company like Evovi would be pursuing this and also offering this service. So that our listeners can better understand, how is it possible to determine the state of health of a battery without installing a separate hardware device?
Well, so first, for that process, we have two parts. One is data collection, and the other one is data crunching, right? So I will go later to the details, but overall, it's like, well, what we are doing is that we connect to the car remotely and get some data from them, right? Data as the the odometer reading, the state of charge of the battery, and other parameters we get from the car, right? And with that, what we are able is to compare that data with other similar cars from the same manufacturer and similar age, right? To understand whether the behavior of that car is normal, or is war, or is poor, or is excellent, right? So the certification of the state, we do it through comparing with other cars, right? Because our charges is not finding out if a battery is broken, right? No, what we are doing is just testing the car, seeing how it's behaving, and understand, well, it's behaving right, so the battery is right. If it's not behaving right, then we can, we find out that there's some problem because the range is lower than expected, or the range is 50%, the average range of that kind of car with that kind of mileage, we will be able to say, look, your battery is poor, but we won't tell you why it's poor. I mean, to find out why your range has reduced dramatically, you will need to go to a dealer or a workshop and install a, you know, a hardware to test what is a battery or whatever, right? So that's what I say. That's the process. How we do it, I mean, we are using connected car technology. I think everyone is aware that, especially in Europe, right? I know that's only in USA, but in Europe, all the electric cars are connected to the web by law. Because all the electric cars, they're required to have an emergency call in the car. And that way, the manufacturer do it. When you buy the car, it comes with a SIM, and it's all the time connected to allow that feature, right? So all the cars are delivering data to the car manufacturer, right? And so what we are doing is that we are accessing to that data with the permission of the owner, right? Our process is, if someone wants to join, Evolvi and wants to join the program, well, so he has to connect to his car application, right? And grant to us permission to access his data. And a specific data, not all the data of the car. We just ask for those three parameters, say, odometer, stay for charge, and whether the car is charging or not, right? So through the app, they grant access to us, and then the company, what does is start sharing that data with us, right? And then we collect that data, and you know, we compare it with other database to work out the result.
Yes, and just a couple of additional details for our listeners. So specifically, Evolvi is using state of charge, odometer, battery level, and estimated range. They do not associate any of those values with any personal information. Also, when you set up a connection, you go to evovi.com, just like I did, evowy.com. You go there and say you want to be one of these people that is going to sign into the service. You then are taken to, depending on the kind of car you have, you are taken to a sign-in page. For my Tesla Model Y, it meant that I identified, hey, I've got a Tesla Model Y. And so then Evolvi's website took me to a Tesla sign-in page. There, I would put in my username and password, and I also do two-factor authentication. None of those pieces of data go to Evolvi at all.
No.
Those go directly to Tesla.com. What comes back from Tesla.com is a token. That token is only used for authentication purposes. There's nothing in the token itself. It's a very long string of hexadecimal characters. So from 0 to F. And that in unique string of characters was generated by Tesla.com, and it has no data within it whatsoever. There's no information about your username, your password, anything about your vehicle at all. Yet, when Evolvi wants to access car data, they will send that token. It will then check with Tesla, do you recognize this token? And Tesla.com, this all happens behind the scenes, will say, yes, I created that token. And then the car knows, okay, whoever is calling the car at this point to retrieve state of charge, odometer, battery level, or estimated range, they are authorized to get those things and only those things. That is how this works. Am I right, Eduardo?
Yeah, you are right. And on top of that, which is very true as well, first, we only have access to the data from the day we granted the access to the token, and the user can cancel the access anytime. And then
yes,
we won't be able to get more data.
Right. And you don't have any way to control the car. That token is very limited because when you ask for access from Tesla, you're also declaring, and the information is presented to the user. This is what Evovi's asking for before you say yes. So it's a very safe process, and it's also very, you know, very hacker resistant, highly hacker resistant. In fact, almost all of the internet depends on this technology. My technology listeners will know it's OAuth2, the background technology that enables all this. It's used by websites all over the world.
Correct. And let me just say one thing. On top of that as well, I mean, we are GDPR compliance, right? So the data we have, we don't share it with third party. We are working with it just anonymous, you know, aggregating the whole data. We never have access to credential, then we don't store them, obviously, because we don't have access. And as well, this important thing for most of the companies, we don't even have access to the car, because we don't connect to the car to get the data. We ask to the manufacturer to share the data with us. So let's say the connection is with the manufacturer server that store the data and share it with us, not directly with the car. Well, that's an important thing, because we don't have a real-time connection, right? We get information depending on the car every certain minutes, right? And not necessarily, you know, real-time. Sometimes, well, usually there's a delay, because it's the time to the manufacturer to gather the data for us.
Yeah, and that's a very important clarification that you made on what I said. Thank you for that, because it's even more secure than what I said. Mm-hmm. That's excellent. Let me move on to the next question. So what does the driver get in return for joining your community?
Obviously, we need to... in the future, we need to pay our salary, right? So we need to get some income out of this, right? So the reward is to get in a certification, right? So the process is that we are now asking for, you know, volunteer early adopter to join and help us, right? The target is to achieve 1,000 cars in the application. 1,000, because we believe that's the reasonable number of cars to have enough data to deliver a certification, something that can be, you know, proved through comparison, right? And so what we give in return is a certification of the car, right? So everyone is here, joins the program. At the end of the program, we will give them that certification. In the meantime, the users that are now in the system, we are monitoring their car, and we are delivering a monthly report of the use of the car, right? And as well, we are working now on delivering value to those early adopters before the final goal of the certification. So because we are aware that until we don't reach the 1,000 car, you know, we don't have much data to compare. So the result of the certification is weak, right? So what we are doing now is working a lot on the behavior of how our user are charging the car, right? And giving them recommendation and advice about, you know, how they treat the battery, right? That's something we can do now with all our users without having to wait for comparison with other car, right? And it's important as well, because we have found out there as well value for our user, right? So I'm sure in the future we'll try to increase that, right? And add it in our portfolio, right? But we found that you said you are electric vehicle owner, so it's always about, you know, we talk always about the range anxiety, right? Okay, I'm gonna have enough, right? Well, have fun as well that there's as well as charging anxiety, you know, because you know the recommendation about how to treat the car is not to overcharge, don't to charge the battery over 80%, don't discharge it below 20%. That's fine. It's easy to say, right, and to do, right? What we are finding that with our tool, we are able to give confidence to our user of not needing to overcharge or charge the battery over 80, right? So because we are finding the charging pattern, right, and we can tell to them, look, we are working, I mean, the report we are giving is increasing the value, but now we are working on giving them a graph showing that in colors, like, you know, green is when through the month the car was within the limits, red was when it wasn't, right? But we want to go further. It's not just it was, you know, you charged over 80 or so what. We want to say, look, you did it, fine, but we check what happened with the car 3 days later, and we can prove you didn't need to do it, right? So the idea is to say, look, we have been, you know, monitoring how you treat the car, and 99% of the times you overcharge without needing it, because if you are going to do a long trip, fine, you know, charge the battery to 100. But and that gives us, it's like the sport race we use that reinforce what you do. Is we are working on that, on measures of how you treat the battery to reinforce the good habits and try to help you to don't have that anxiety about charging too much. That is what affects to the battery life and the car life.
All right, thank you. And those are particular aspects of being an owner of an EV that when you first become an EV owner, the range anxiety is definitely there. And it's always good to know, hey, you don't actually have to charge it all the time. I definitely use I plugged in Tesla as a happy Tesla, yet I set my charge limit to either 80 or 90%, depending on how much travel I'm going to do that day, where by the time I get back home, I think I'll have about 20% left. And that's something that over time I learned. But for new EV owners, those are some techniques, and certainly Evovi is going to help them with that data. I have another question. There are other competitors in this market, like Recurrent Auto, MyBatteryHealth.com, and Geotab, among others. What would you say differentiates Evovi from those competitors?
Well, I mean, there's more competition than that, actually, right? So let's say our main differentiation from the solution now is that we are fully remote. Many of the solutions that are there require hardware to be plugged in the car, right? So it's more expensive because the cost of the hardware is higher, and it's a pain because you need to buy the hardware, get it delivered, plug in, use it, and so it's not convenient, right? So what we are looking is first doing all remotely, because it's remotely, but we are allowed to do it very fast, very easy, anywhere in the world, right? And it's more important thing, you will be able to do it, yes, in the moment it's needed. We can foresee that, when you are selling a car, is the moment we say, okay, I'm going to sell the car, fine, I would love to have a battery certification, right? And that's the moment where you are willing to buy and to pay for it, right? So if you can do it, over the air, just connect it to a solution and have the certification within days, that's easy, and you will do it. If you need to go buy a hardware, install it, probably it will be more difficult, right? So that's our main differentiation with what is the state of the art now, right? Regarding what they say, I will say that we are more focused on Europe. Our solution works Europe and USA, but we are more doing our marketing and community. We are working within in Europe, whether the others are more located in America.
Yeah, and I was about ready to point that out, because you have a large number of PHEV and EV models that you currently support, including all Tesla models. I do notice that there are a few that are missing from the list currently. So when will you be adding support for the BMW i4, the iX, Ford F-150 Lightning, the Kia EV6, all Hyundai PHEV and EV models, and all Polestar models? When will you be adding support for those as well?
Well, I mean, we don't have a data, because we depend, connected the car depend on different factors. So we need to you know, in our work to be able to connect to all the car, we are doing in different ways. Sometimes we work with third-party connection partners that allow us to access to some cars. Sometimes we do it directly with the car. So this is a work, you know, it's a working on many different lines. So to try to get the most number of compatible cars, right? So you depend on as well on what's the strategy or the politics of the manufacturer, right? Some of them they're quite open, some of them they're quite closed. They, you know, you depend on them on how easy they are doing the access to data from third party, right? It's true that all this connected car thing is still a very early stage, so things go slow, right? And mostly go slow because it's more a legal thing. I mean, actually, the good thing in Europe is that finally, there was a big debate about who is the owner of the data of the car, right? The big one. So the European Commission ruled that the owner of the data of the car is the car owner, right? And that's a big change, right? Because that opened a big door for the user, because they can use the data in something that give them value, but as well for the community, right? So that helped us, right? But again, you know, you may be owner of the data, but the process and the structure to share it has to be delivered by the manufacturer, and some of them they are willing to do it, and some of them are not. For example, one of the manufacturers you said have a politic of trying to get extract value out of the data. It's been slower because they are thinking more about keeping the data for them and explore the data in the benefit only, right? Others. Anyway, what I say is we're working on that, right? It's not been that. I don't think it will take years, right? Because the manufacturer are changing quite fast. And there's a big, you know, a snowball about connecting the car. So the more use, the more clear is that the value is there. And then the manufacturer are now, you know, working on making the most of that data. Not just them for their project, but they are seeing that sharing it is working for them. It's kind of what happened with the phones, you know, smartphones, right? Opening the smartphone to third party and an application that add value is good for the manufacturer, because the user is making more out of his product, right? This is what happened. This is what is happening in the automotive industry.
Yeah, and when I looked at, and you do already support a large number of vehicles, you already support the Ford Mach-E. So it wouldn't surprise me that we'd see the F-150 Lightning added very quickly. And you already have support for the BMW i3, so I would expect the i4 and iX to also come pretty quickly. So yeah, to your point, it's going to be an ongoing process as new vehicles start showing up, like from General Motors, for example, when we start seeing more of their vehicles other than just the Cadillac LYRIQ and the Hummer EV, which are both currently available. Totally expect that Evovi will be right out front with support for some of these newer vehicles. I've got two more questions. Currently, you have 253 volunteers, of which I'm one. I signed up weeks ago, so my car's ready to go. You're welcome. I'm ready to go on this. I'm looking forward to you getting to that 1,000 volunteers, because I understand that's when you'll start generating these battery reports. What are you doing now to help get to that 1,000 volunteer goal?
Well, so the first thing is what we already did, right? We signed a partnership with the Spanish Electric Vehicle Association, right? So that has helped us as well to give a kick to that number, right? Because as we were talking before, I mean, one of the main concerns of the people is, we are a young company, they don't know who we are, you know, they usually were concerned about their data, right? So having the support of this association was very helpful, because it transmitted trust to the user, because they did an exhaustive test of the application. They we open the door to them, they check everything, they saw everything, they find out that it was useful for the users and was safe. So because of that, we added a good number of cars to the project, right? So then one line we are doing is where we are, you know, we are in negotiation with other user associations. So the same, instead of going one by one, we want to join a group of individuals that have a common, you know, goal and prove what we are doing right, and then get that right. The other thing we are working is on having a, as well, a sponsor company or someone to help us. So we are working with the car charging networks, right, and with the electric companies, right? So in a way to try to deliver value as well to the user through a sponsor that will somehow reward with electricity to the user, right? Our target is finding someone that said, well, you know, if you join Volvo, as I said, it's going to be a time where you are supporting the project, and at the end of the time, you will have your reward through a certification. But what if in between, we can just reward you as well with the electricity, which is at the end of the day, Wi-Fi. So we had a conversation with a couple of companies. I think they are going well. I mean, we are with a couple of main electricity distributors, right? They have interest. And a most important thing, the charging networks, they are quite interested, right? Because, supported this, they can access to new customers, right? So we are working there as a way to grow the number of cars up to 1,000.
Well, I'm looking forward to getting my first battery report, and it sounds like we're well on our way to get there. One final question. I was curious, how did you determine your company name, Evovi? How did you come up with that?
Well, that's a good, you know, it's always difficult to put a name to a project, right? So, there are some, let's say, history telling side, and then a marketing side, right? The Volvo comes from EV, electric vehicle. Then we are working in the leasing company in a brand which will be Idoneo Evolution. So EV, Volvo will come from there, EV Evolution, right? And that's the history telling. The marketing is, you know, to have a good domain on internet, it has to be short, less than 5, a lot of vocals. So we added a we because it follows the rules of the marketing, which is, as I said, no more than 5 words. The sound is, let's say, it's alive, right? And that's how we got it.
Well, I could learn a few tips on that because the name of my podcast is 3 words and, you know, a total of 14 characters. So maybe I could learn a little bit from, you know, shorten it up. That sounds like a good idea for me. Well, thank you, Eduardo, for joining the podcast today. And would you consider coming back on a future episode to give us an update on the company's progress?
Yeah, sure. It will be my pleasure. So I can share with you, you know, once we have 1,000 cars and we start delivering the certification, hopefully you'll invite me again so we can join again and talk about what happened and how it's going.
All right. That sounds great. So everybody, Eduardo Clavijo from Evovi. Thank you very much. That's it for this episode. Love to hear from some of our listeners via Twitter at LifeMidi and via email, lifewithmidi@gmail.com. Also on the Clubhouse app at LifeMidi, a member of Tesla Universe on Clubhouse, and on the Wisdom app where I do occasional electric vehicle Q&A. And don't forget about the voice commands list and app, teslavoice.glideapp.io. Always remember, empower others. You'll never live life on empty. And we'll talk to you next time.